Today we're going to talk about fortifying our faith, and in particular we're going to be reading from Exodus chapter 2, starting in verses 1. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 12. The scripture says, "And there went a man." Is that the right? Okay, excuse me. I had the wrong on the screen. There he goes. Okay. I wanted to make sure you had the right context on the screen. The Bible says in the King James Version, Exodus 2, verses 1 through 12, "And there went a man of the house of Levi." Pastor Andrew, can you read that? Because you're better in your articulation when it comes to reading than I. If you could come over. I'll get the microphone to you. Okay.
"And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off, to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. And it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand."
Amen. Amen. He slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. May God add a blessing to the reading of his most holy word. May the church say thanks be unto God. We are living in a perilous time. And I say perilous because every few weeks a new variant is coming out. One in South Africa now. As I said to Pastor Andrew today, and I don't know the answers. And I said to her, I said, I wonder, is this God allowing the judgment, his judgment to come upon this earth? Oh, it's nothing new. It's all in history. It's all in the Bible. You know, history is his story. God has so many times where he came and visited the earth and visited the sins of men. And he judged us. And I said that, you know, is this what's happening? We've been doing a study in the book of Revelation, and Revelation tells us, you know, the plagues that's going to come and the destruction that's going to come and the Antichrist that's going to come. The Bible tells us all about that in particular, you know, but in all of that, as Christians, we are in the middle of all of that. Amen. And we're in perilous times, perilous. Funerals. I mean, just came from one Wednesday. Another one on Monday. God, what is going on? Two funerals. It's a double funeral on Monday. Two first cousins. Two brothers' sons. I said, wow, man, some stuff is going on. In the last year, listen to this. In the last year, two of my people that I know personally, friends, good friends of mine, men, four of them lost their sons. Four of them lost their sons. In the last year that I know, I'm saying, wow, man, this is deep. This is some heavy stuff. And so we're in perilous times, jobs, economy, you know, people trying to do whatever they can do to make ends meet. Cheat, rob. Come on. I got to take care of me. Well, and from the biblical point of view, we got to do what God says first before we do what we want to do for ourselves. Okay? Now you say, well, I'm still going to heaven, but I'm going to do it. No, you got to do what God says as Christians, because the convictions are going to come upon you. And so we're living in, not going down that road, we're living in perilous times. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, Elijah, if you can put the notes up. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, it says, these have come so that your faith, I'm reading from the NIV version, these have come I don't think you don't have this note on there, 1 Peter, but that's okay. Leave that right there. Just move it up a little bit, Law, where it just had what faith is not. Right there. Just leave it right there. So in 1 Peter 1, 7, NIV verse says, these trials, these tribulations have come, okay, so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. It says that these, 1 Peter 1, 7, you don't have it on your screen, you can write it down if you want. It says, these have come that your faith of great worth than gold, which perish, even though it's refined in the fire. See, we have to go through the fire, church. Some Christians, some church preach that when you get saved, everything's going to be fine and you're going to just fly away. By and by, it's going to be by and by, but in your by and by, you're going to have some tribulation. You need to be tried. I need to know that you're my friend. I don't need to guess that you're my friend. I need to know that you are my friend. Okay? So, tribulation is going to come and try us. Going to try mother against daughter, father against son. Tribulation. It's gonna test and see, what are you made of? Well, who is the real you? Okay? So we're living in the testing times and trying. And the Bible says that the trials may be proved genuine and result in praise and glory to God. That when you go through something, God wants the glory. Yes. God wants the glory in what you're going through. And we're talking about faith, genuine faith. And so genuine faith, what faith is not? You know, we have expression today, and I said it before, it bears repeating. What does it look like? Well, what don't it look like? It's not chance or luck. It's not probability or something you just inherit. It's not something you wish for. I'm wishing for it. I say it 1,000 times. Car, 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 car. Give me a car. Give me a car. Give me a car. Car, 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 car. Give me a house. Give me a house. Give me a husband. Give me a wife. Blah, 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 blah. You better go get some water because you're going to dry your mouth out. You're not going to get it like that. Just repeat over and over. Like grandkids do it. No, it ain't going to work like that. I want it so bad, Lord. I want this so bad, God. If you could just give it to me. I want it so bad. You ain't going to get it like that. Now, you listen. Sometimes we want something so bad. The Bible says the children of Israel wanted something so bad. The children of Israel wanted something so bad. The Bible says it brought leanness to their bones. In other words, it shrunk them. You can want something so bad, and you get it, and guess what? It's not what you thought it was. My mother had an expression about the grass is not always greener on the other side. Was that the expression? Everything that glitters is not gold. That's because it's gold. He looked good. She looked good. That looked good. I want that. If I could just get that. And then you get it, and guess what? Then you want something else. Faith is not memorizing or just thinking about something we want. I'm just going to keep thinking about it. Keep thinking about it. God knows what I'm thinking about. He's God that knows all and sees all. So I'm just keep thinking about it. Keep thinking about it. That's faith. I'm having faith. I'm just keep thinking about it. That's not faith. It's not going to happen like that. Faith is not something we want to buy. I just want to buy this. Like I just got to get that coat. I got to get that. There's nothing wrong with having nice things. Don't get me mixed up. don't get me confused with what I'm saying. Don't get it confused with what I'm saying. I love to see you all in nice things, nice coats and nice rings. And nothing wrong with bling bling and nice this. Just don't go overboard with whatever you got. There's a lot of makeup out there, isn't it? There's a lot of hairdos out there. You don't put 2 and 3 wigs on, do you? You don't put all the different colors of makeup and rouge all on your face because they all look good. Well, you're gonna put the clown out of business if you did that. Because the clown said, I thought I was a clown. I thought I had the big lip and all the face and all the hair. No, you don't need all of that. Faith is not something that I can obtain by my position. Well, I'm bishop. I'm going to get it because I'm bishop. I'm going to get it because I'm a Christian. I'm going to name it, blab it, and grab it. And because I can do this and because I can do that, now I have it. That's not faith. Romans 10:17 says, So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Have you been around the word lately? See, when you're around the word, guess what? You smell like the word. Even in your trials, you smell like the word. I'm going to give you a prime example. Daniel, when he was in the lion's den, guess what? He didn't smell on him like the breath of the lion wasn't on him. Why? Because he had God's word in him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, guess what? They went in the fiery furnace, heated, my God. But yet, no smell of smoke was on them because they had the scent of God. They had the fragrance of God. When you're around the word all the time, when you're around the scriptures and, you know, on my tablet and my iPad, and I got the Bible. I turn the scriptures on. Sometimes when I can't sleep, I turn the scriptures on.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. I turn the scriptures on. If you're around negative fighting and bickering all the time, yes, you're going to respond to that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know about you, but I need the word all the time. And people could smell when you're around the word. You know, I'm just thinking about the other day. On Friday, I went to my therapist and for some work on my back and my leg, physical therapist. And while I was there, you know, I did my exercises, laid down on the cot. They worked my back, really worked my back and worked, you know, this. Get my leg right and all that stuff. And so I came home. When I came home, my dog started sniffing me. He's sniffing my leg. And I like that because he's detecting something. Like, where you been? He sniffs my leg, and you know, like, and then his tail go up and straight, and then he'll back off and he goes somewhere. You're like, where you been? I can tell you've been somewhere. Where were you at? Who are you around? He could smell it. A dog. What were you around? If I was around fire, with my mother-in-law, God bless the memory of my mother-in-law. When the Alzheimer's had came upon her in early stages, she was missing. She went out of the house. No one knew what happened to her. And that night, we called the police, the sheriff. We don't have 24 hours. Once we told them she had Alzheimer's, they brought county police. They said, everybody out the house right now. And no one in the house. The county police went in with their dog because they want the dog to pick up the scent of my mother-in-law. So they gave her the clothes, the dog. He sniffed the clothes, and he went running. And they went running all up down the block, and they went all, and then all of a sudden, after a while, the dog lost the scent. But even a dog senses something. See, when you're around the Word, when you're around faith, when you're around the Spirit of God, there's something about you that I can sense that others don't like. When you're around, let me give an example. My God, this is so true. My son, one of my sons, and the dog, they don't work together. They're nemesis. They're arch enemies. So, when my son comes over, he sits down, and the dog is in the basement in the cage. He got a big cage, and he says, I just want to get to him. If I can just rip the cage open, get up there and get to him. Right? So, after my son leaves the house, we let the dog out. So, the dog, the first thing he does, he just runs upstairs like a roaring lion. He runs up and passes everybody, and he goes over to where my son was sitting, and he smells it. He jumps on top of the couch, and he can run around the house looking for, where's he at, I want to get to him. And then he finally calms down. His scent. When we're around the presence and the Word of God, this is what happens. The saints of God. That's why the Bible says, forsake not the assembly of the saints as some did. Don't forsake it. Come together. Worship. I wish we were in the church. I wish we were in the building. I wish we were. But listen, I thank God for what we do have. What if we didn't have Zoom? What if all we had is to write a letter? What if we all had just I saw Sister Roxanne tell Minister Charles or tell Deacon Stephanie I said hello, and we didn't have no way of communicating with each other. Thank God for what we have. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is what? A rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So if you want to please God, guess what? Build up, fortify your faith. Because when you're not fortifying your faith, guess what? The enemy and the flesh is tearing you apart. It's stirring up things that you don't want stirred up. It's bringing up thoughts. It's bringing up conversation. It's bringing up that which God brought you out of. Some of you have been abused in your life. When you're around faithful people, faithful word, guess what? You're built up in the Word. Man, I'm strong. I'll punch the devil out. I'll punch his lights out. But when you're not around them and you got negative and you got all this stuff happening, guess what? Man, you're beat up. Get around the Word. Don't try. Oh, I can make it. I'm going to make it one. Listen, you miss the Word 1 week, W-E-E-K. Someone said it makes one weak. W-E-A-K. Mm-hmm. Miss studying the word. Miss worship and praise. Miss fellowship with the saints. 1 week, W-E-E-K. And in 1 week, you'll be W-E-A-K. Weak, spiritually. And then your faith isn't fortified. Their faith isn't as, I know you've been saved 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. Ah, okay. But you miss 1 week, that's when the enemy comes in. Bang. We got to build ourselves up in the most holy faith. In this, Lysha, if you can remove that for a minute, I'm going to just talk to him just for a minute before we get to the last part. Going back to what we just read in the book of Exodus, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, we find the story of Moses. What got him to this place of faith? What got him to a place of trusting in God? The Bible says in Hebrews 10, verse 17, and it corresponds with what we just read in Exodus chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. It says in Romans 10, verse 17, it says, Hebrews 11, verse 24. Hebrews 11, 24, it says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith. By faith, Moses, when he came an adult, when he got his senses right, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, in Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, it explains why. It explains why. Because in Exodus chapter 2, verse 11, it says here, and it came to pass in those days, while the children of Israel were still in Egyptian bondage, while they were still being oppressed, and Moses was still in the palaces of the Pharaoh, when Moses was grown, grew up, came to senses, Exodus 2, verse 11, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, his brother, his family, his blood, one of his brethren. Now, Minister Charles, I believe you know where I'm going to go with this. Let me just take my time with this because we need to understand this. The plight that we have went through as a people of color in the diaspora. Diaspora is the surrounding world, the people of color in Egypt, in Africa, in Indonesia, in Korea, in Mexico, in Puerto Rico, in Brazil, in Italy, in Germany, all over this world where you just think the color of people are just all white. The world has a majority of people of color, believe it or not. The people of color is the majority of this world. But we have went through something, people of color in the United States. And the plight that we went through, and sometimes our white brother and some of them, they think they understand us. They think they know our plight. They think they know what we went through. Until you have went through what we went through, you don't understand. Until you have went down and seen your brothers. I went down south and I seen the backwoods of where my family grew up. I saw it was a dead boar when I visited down there the last time. A dead boar. It must have weighed about at least 150 pounds on the ground, dead, shot. Somebody had shot it with a buckshot. And I thought about how black people were shot down just like that in the back of the woods just laying there, and these big crows and big hawks were waiting on top of the fence. And I was scared. I got out of there because they was waiting just to hoop down on that thing. I'm like, that's the way they did us. Until you know how to play. Until you know what fried chicken tastes like. Come on, somebody. Until you know what grits taste like. Until you know what it feels like to have nothing at all. You don't know our story. You think you know our story. And people are writing our story thinking they know. They don't know our story. Moses went down. He knew. He had found out that he was not Egyptian. He grew up. The Bible says he grew up and found out this is not really my family. Let me go find my family. And the Bible says in Exodus 2, verse 11, that Moses grew up, that he went unto his brethren. He said, I got to go see my brother. I got to go see what it really means to go through what they're going through. Let me go down and see what their plight is. And why don't they come and visit me? Why don't they look like me? I'm in a palace and I got all this stuff. And why don't they come and do this for me? And he went down, the Bible says, and he looked on their burdens. He looked on their burdens. He looked and saw how they were mistreated and abused. And one Egyptian was beating one of his brothers. Smiting, the Bible says, and spied an Egyptian smiting in Hebrew. His blood, his brethren. He said, oh, my God, we got to do something about this. See, until you know what we're going through, you don't understand our story. And Moses went down for himself. He had to find out. But the Bible says he grew up. That's there for a purpose. He grew up. Sometimes we got to grow up. We got to realize there's other people that made the road for us that we didn't pay for ourselves. Young folks need to know this today, that you didn't make the road for yourself. Well, I don't need mama. I don't need papa. I got all this. I'm smarter than everybody. You just don't know that the dead end you're going to reach in a couple of more weeks or in a couple of more months, in a couple of more years. You think you got it all? I don't need mama to tell me about having sex and daddy telling me how not to do this and hang out with this one. I don't need mama to tell me all this. Man, I know this stuff, man. I know more than she know. I know the internet. I know Google. I know this and that. But yeah, guess what? That hasn't been tried. We've been tried. Parents, we've been tried. We've gone through stuff. We've seen stuff that family members can't even imagine. Stories. When Moses saw his brethren being whipped, he said, oh, no, this cannot be. Then he probably saw others and abused and gone through this. See, this is what we're talking about, fortifying faith. God allows us to go through things to fortify our faith. Yes, we can cry in the midst of what we're going through. That's okay. But understanding is another thing. We need to understand that through all of this, God is making me stronger. Oh, I lost this and I didn't have that, but God is making me stronger. As Moses saw his brethren being whipped. And finally he says, we're not going to have this thing. And Moses went, and the Bible says, and he saw his brother, one of his brother being whooped in verse 12. And his Bible says, and when Moses looked this way and that way, he started looking around and saying, hey, man, you know, I can't take this no more. I can't take this no more. And when he saw that no man was around and nobody would see what he's getting ready to do in his mind. I'm not condoning this. And I don't, listen, I'm not telling you to do what Moses did. Because Moses did this and faced the consequences of it. The Bible says he took that Egyptian and slew him himself and hid him in the sand. Moses was a bad dude. Don't think Moses was just sitting down, came off the mountain. He got a big white beard and he's just sitting there. Oh, what God would have to say. Moses was a bad dude. Moses, he had a criminal record. Come on now. You know, by the law, he should have faced life in prison. With the possibility of being executed. But for the grace of God. But the gist of the story is Moses saw the burning of his people. And when he saw that, something rose up in him. Faith. You think about Harriet Tubman, Frederick Douglass, and many others, and Bethune, all the scientists. What stirred in him? Harriet Tubman to say, we're going to go forward. We're gonna outdo this devil. This devil ain't going to get me down. This devil ain't going to keep abusing me. I'm going to save somebody. Harriet Tubman, just like Moses, saw the burden of the people and said, we got to change this thing. I don't know about you, but when you see and understand the plight of where we are and what we have gone through, it should stir you to say, I got to change this thing. And Moses says, I got to change this thing. Lord, put this up on the screen again. The notes. And so Moses, in his faith, he says something has to happen. And so faith stirred up in Moses. We just read earlier, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. Can you open that door a little bit? It's getting hot. Faith comes by hearing. So what does faith require? What does faith require? Faith requires hope. Move it up, Laisha. Move it up. Faith requires hope. Thank you. It requires hope. Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. What are you hoping for? I know what the rest of the verse says, but you got to have some hope. You can't just throw in the towel. That's it. It's over. No. When you throw in the towel, it's over. You've given up. Don't give up. I think Andre Crouch years ago, he wrote a song, don't give up. Stand and fight for what you know is right. Don't give up. Stand and fight. Until the devil knocks you out, you stand up and fight. Stand up. Hope is evidence. Hebrews 11:1 says, the other part of 11, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What do you mean the evidence of things not seen? The evidence is what you stand on. The evidence is, part of the evidence is your testimony, see? The testimony of the word. If God did it for one, he can do it for me. He did it for Moses. He did it for Daniel. Come on, in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, is the heroes of faith. We call it the hall of faith. Huh? Hebrews chapter 1 talks about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Elijah, Mary. Come on. Miriam. Many other men and women who stood up in faith. That's our evidence. The evidence of that testifies and says that God, the scripture says, God is no respecter of person. Evidence. Fortifying our faith, church. God is our hope. God is our evidence. Faith requires standing up for what we know is right against the majority. Hebrews 11:25 says, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That's what faith is. Faith is standing up for what is right. Well, everybody else is doing it. Everybody else got it. Everybody else, are you going to jump off the building too? No, I'm not going to do it. Well, then don't do it. Listen. Young folks, old folks, middle-aged folks, wherever you are at right now, you know what's right. We all know what right is. But we got to stand up for it. You don't stand up for right, then you just give it in. You're just like everybody else. Faith is standing up for what is right, choosing rather to suffer affliction. Young folks on college campus. The affliction is everybody else is having sex. Come on, I'm just being real. If you got young children listening to this, please remove them from this conversation right now, but this is not for young kids. This is for adults. Okay? As parents, your kids may be on college campus. And the sex is going to be thrown right in their face. Right in their face. I was on college campus. It was thrown right in my face. Everybody was doing it. What are you going to do, young man, young woman? What are you going to do? Oh, I can't wait. I'm not living it. No, you better wait. You better wait. We have my twin brother and I, we have a young father, a youth program, a mentorship program that we've been doing out of Newark for a number of years, And we minister to the young eighth graders. And we talk to them straight up. We're not preaching to them. We're not reading no scripture, quoting no scripture. No, we're just living a life and talking about what is real. And we said, when we start talking about sex, we say to them, listen, when you start getting involved with somebody sexually, you allow part of them to come in you. Okay? So if you allow part of them to come in you and they've been with 10 other people, you got 10 other spirits coming in you. And they don't realize that. They just think it's just that. It was just fun. You allow, and then when you get older, all of a sudden, you're not sure if I want to marry. That's what the problem is. You're not sure what you want to marry anymore because you had so many different relationships. You hear what I'm saying? You've been involved with so, because all those spirits and all those, you don't know what love is. That's why you got to be careful what you're doing. And so standing up for what you got to stand, we got to stand up for what we know is right. Number four, what does faith require? Seeing what God has promised in his word. What did God promise in his word? Hebrews 11:13 says, having seen them afar off, the heroes of faith, they saw what God was going to do for them afar off. Some of you want that house. It may not come right now. It may not come next year. But can you see it afar off? I don't know how am I going to make it. You got to make it. Just see it afar off. See yourself wearing. See yourself dressing. See yourself talking. Come on. See yourself walking somewhere. See yourself in your own house, in your own facility. See yourself in your own car driving. See yourself with your own house with peace.
Say it before you see it. Say it before you see it.
Say it before you see it, Pastor Angie said. Say it. See what God has promised in his word. Seeing it afar off, Hebrews 11:13. Mm-hmm. And then number five, it says, being persuaded and embracing what God has said. See, again, that's being around the people of God, being around the word of God. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:13, and were persuaded of them and embraced them. The Bible says, and persuaded and embraced them. The heroes of faith, they were persuaded of what God has said and embraced them. Embraced what God has said. Embrace means you hold it. You don't just let it go. You hold it. If you're in the water and you can't swim and somebody throw you a life jacket or a lifesaver and life raft, and you're going to hold on that thing for dear life. If you got to hold it with your teeth for hours, I'm letting go of this thing.
Yes. Amen.
Because that's your life. You got to hold, you got to be persuaded that this is going to save me. This word is going to save me. This word is going to bring me to my shore where I got safety and I got security. This life raft of God's word is going to, I'm going to embrace it. I'm not going to let it go.
Yes.
The Bible talks about holding on to God's unchanging hands. Standing, my God, on his promises. The promises of God are what? Yay and amen to them that believe.
Amen.
Standing on the promises of God.
Yes,
and then number six, we need to have a faith is a commitment and trust. I'm committed to this thing and I'm going to trust it. God's going to see me through what I'm going through. This is it. Bible tells us in Psalm 37:5, commit thy way unto what? unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall what?
Bring it to pass.
Psalm 37, verse 5. Commit your way unto the Lord. See, commit your way means that, look, I'm stop running right now. I'm stop acting a fool. I'm stop thinking on my own. I'm stop just trusting me. I'm trusting God right now. I'm going to do what God says do. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe God for a husband, a wife, for the right boyfriend, for the right girlfriend, for the right friend, for the right husband, for the right, let me just, I ain't talking about the right husband. If you marry, I ain't talking about now. Let me get rid of this one so I can be a new one. Let me get rid of a wife so I can get me, no, I ain't talking about that. You got a covered relationship. You got problems. Go get counseling. Go get, ask God to help you through what you got to go through. But some of you in situations, you need God to help you. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. And the Bible says he shall bring it to pass. Number seven, but bring it up a little bit, Laisha. Number seven, what does faith require? Our actions. Our actions. You want something, you got to act on it. You got to act on God's word. You got to say, I'm going after it. Step out. I'm stepping out. Bible says in James verse 2, verse 26, it says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Faith without works. Somebody said faith without corresponding actions. Faith without works is dead. You gave me what? $1 million? Thank you so much for that check. I appreciate that check. Woo, he gave me $1 million. That $1 million ain't nothing. I ain't gonna go cash that. Well, you don't have to. Just leave it there. That's more for me. I'll give it to somebody else. You got the $1 million check. All you gotta do is cash it. If you don't act on it and go down to the bank and deposit it in your account or if you're home, you can do that thing with the, I don't know if you can do $1 million with the camera. I don't know if they'll let you do $1 million with the camera. But if I don't cash that check, my actions is nothing. I give you a scholarship. You're going to college and you're going to do this. If you don't show up for classes, guess what? You're going to fail. You got a scholarship. You got all this to go to school and you're not going to act on it? Faith without works. Fortifying that faith. We got to respond to what God says. If we know God, you got to keep saying, God, you're going to do it. God, you're going to make a way. Pastor Angie always says, if it's God's will, it's his bill. If it's God's will, it's his bill. He will make a way. That don't mean you just sit back and don't do nothing. You got to still put yourself in the way. You got to still move on the word. And so number eight, the last thing I want to talk about, most important thing, about fortifying your faith is praying. Praying. We lose our perspective when we don't pray. We lose God's perspective when we don't pray. The Bible says in Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever thing ye desire when you pray. Let's look at that verse of scripture. Whatsoever thing ye desire, okay, you got a desire now. I want this, I want that, I need to have that.
Yes.
When you pray. See, your desire, when you come before the Lord in prayer, can be changed if you're committed to the Lord. If you don't commit it to the Lord, your desire is just going to be what you want. And God is not going to answer you because if you don't commit to God to answer you and to meet you in prayer, you're just wasting time. The Bible says, whatsoever thing you desire when you pray. See, when you pray, let's make it clear. When you and I pray, we go down and ask God first for his presence. We'll just get up before God and say, God, give me this, give me that, give me that, give me that, give me that, I need that. Blah, blah, blah. No. You got to come to God and humble yourself. The Bible teaches us about humbling ourselves before the Almighty God. And when you humble yourself before God, God may say, yes, I'm going to give you this, or no, I'm not going to give you this, or maybe later I'm going to give you this, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Amen. And so praying, the Bible says, whatsoever thing ye desire, when ye pray, believe. Because once God, you get in the place of prayer and God begin to speak to you, all of a sudden faith start rising up. Oh, God met me. He showed me. Now I'm believing. Believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. Huh? Believe. God says, if I can only get you to believe. Just believe. 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 Trust God. What is God saying? What is God going to do? Just trust God for what he's going to do. Believe God. Don't worry about it. I look at I'm going back to my grandmother, my mother. My grandmother didn't have a high school education. I don't even know if she went to the eighth grade. Born in 1898. God, post-slavery. 1898. My grandmother came up from the South, pioneer, came up to the North, made a way for her children to come up North, bought a house, bought another house, was so blessed that the realtor story, well, I ain't gonna tell you all the story. Maybe I don't want to tell it before you read it in the book. But God blessed my grandmother so much. Everywhere she went, she got a house. My mother, I think, had an eighth grade education. Came out from the projects, raising 8 kids. My God. Bought a car. Got a house. My brother went to Vietnam, and he blessed my mother with his GI Bill and said, Mom, y'all gonna move to East Orange. We got the house, but Lord, how are we gonna pay the mortgage? Well, they hardly have no money. We had to pay the mortgage. The house wasn't for free. We got in the house, but now we gotta pay the mortgage every month. You gotta maintain. Same thing with salvation. Salvation is free to get in there for God to come in your life. But now you gotta maintain. We gotta pay the mortgage. My mother got up in age, kids all out the house, we all gone. My mother said, it's time to move. And we figured my mother going into a senior care facility. I get a call one day from her attorney, and he says, do you know what your mother's doing? I said, yeah, she's selling her house. He said, you're right, she is. But do you know she's buying another house? I said, what? My mother was 70-something years old. I said, what? How my mother gonna buy a house? No income, no this, no that. What? My mother's buying another house. She wasn't gonna let nothing stop her to what she wanted. Don't let nothing stop you. Fortify your faith. Build yourself up. Surround yourself up with faithful people, faithful words, and faithful expressions, and people that expresses the faith of God. You surround yourself with people outside of the faithful. Listen, I'm not talking about, you just isolate yourself with just around Christians. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Because Jesus didn't do that. He was always hanging around sinners. But when it came time for his spiritual life, he was around the saints. He was around the people of God. He was around the disciples and in the temple, reading the scriptures and reading the word. And so in closing, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5, it says that your faith, my God, your faith, my faith, the Christian faith, the believer's faith, that faith that God has given us, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. It should not stand in the wisdom, let me do this because my grandmother did this and my grandfather did this. You know, my father used to do this and my mother used to do this and they did it. They did it, but that was for them. But you got to stand on God's word, that your faith, that your trust in God should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Because the power of God changes things. The power of God maneuvers things. The power of God manipulates things. The power of God can take what's dark and make it light. The power of God can take what man has disdained and make it beautiful. The power of God can take what you've been put down and bring you up. Come on. The power of God can change your life, can change your perspective, can change your future, can change your life in such a way that man will look back and say, was that sister so-and-so? Was that brother so-and-so? Was that Mr. so-and-so? Look what the Lord has done.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Fortifying your faith. Lisha, you can remove the notes now. Thank you so much. Every one of us, under the sound of my voice, heard this message today, should be challenged. As believers, to build yourself up in the most holy faith. Build your faith up with hope, with evidence. Stand in what you know is right. See what God has promised. Being persuaded and embracing what God has done. Trusting and committing yourself. Acting on God's word and praying. The Bible says we need to pray without ceasing. Adversary, the devil is out to take us out, church. I don't care who you are. He's out to take you out. If I'm the pastor, he's every day, church, every day, it's a fight. Every day it's a fight. Every day. There's no day off. For me, every day is a fight. If I don't fortify myself, I might as well stay in bed and say, God, just take me on home and die. I got to get up out of my bed and fight every day. Spiritually, mentally, emotionally, domestically, financially. Every day it's a fight. Because the enemy just want to loosen the screws a little bit, and loosen the wires up and sift you out like wheat. But we got to fortify ourselves. Fortify ourselves with the word of God. You got to let the devil know, I'm here to fight now. I'm here to fight. I ain't here to stand and sit back. You want to fight? Let's go. Come on, let's go. Come on. But you got to know, as Apostle Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. My God. With the word, with the prayer, with fasting, fight the good fight. Use those weapons. Not just your mind. I'm thinking. No, with prayer. Oh, my God, with supplication. Oh, God, fasting. Oh, my God, with thanksgiving, with the attitude. Got to have the attitude right. And so we're fortifying our faith today. And I'm closing in this message, but I thank God for every one of you. I pray that you're encouraged to continue on in the faith, to walk by faith and not by sight. Don't walk thinking that, oh, the enemy, he can do what he wants. No, he can't do nothing. Just like Job, he couldn't do nothing with Job unless God released Satan, until God released us. Okay, devil, you can do this with him. God only releases that to make us stronger. And so I say to you today, as I close, build up yourself in the most holy faith and trust in God. Let's pray. Father, in your blessed name, we thank you for everyone that heard this word today, and God, under the sound of my voice, I speak the word of faith. I speak life. I speak strength. I speak fortification. I speak, oh God, edification to every saint, every believer, everyone that's trusting your word, God. Even those that are weak, oh God, that's falling away, oh God, that feel like throwing in the towel. Even if they threw in the towel, God, let them go back and pick it up and say, it's not done. God is not done with me yet. God, strengthen those who are weak. Strengthen those who've been going through, oh God. Some been going through hour by hour, day by day, and God don't know how to make it through. God, your provision be made for them right now. God, I speak the blessings of God. I touch and agree with those individuals on the other side of this microphone that God, that they are blessed, that they are blessed, that they are blessed, that they are blessed. Oh, exceedingly and abundantly, they are blessed. And God, I speak the blessings of God that will overtake them, oh God, as they come, as they go, oh God, as they stand up, as they lay down, God. I pray that you'll open the doors of heaven and pour them out a blessing. Let them see afar off that your blessings will come to pass, that your promises will come to pass, that you are a great God. You are the mighty God. You are the all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful God of all authority. You are God all by yourself. And I speak to that brother in isolation right now. I speak to that family that's being afflicted right now by the enemy of their soul, by Satan's enemies, by Satan's agents. I bind the works of the devil. I speak Jesus right now in the north, east, south, and west, Africa, Asia, North Korea, South Korea, China, over in India, over in Alaska, Canada, United States, South America, Brazil, Argentina, all over this world, oh God, Alaska, oh God, all over Switzerland, oh God, Europe, oh God, Indonesia, oh God, all over this world, God. I speak the word of faith right now in Germany right now, Japan, Korea, Vietnam. I speak the word of faith right now to my brothers and sisters that they will walk and not be weary. God bless them right now under the sound of my voice. And Lord God, every evil, everything that was done in darkness, God, reveal it, bring it to the light. In Jesus' name, we thank you. And if you don't know Christ today and you want this love, just say, Lord, come into my heart. Forgive me for my sins. I need you right now. I've walked away from you. I didn't know about your love, but I want it right now. Fill my heart with your love. Give me your grace. Give me your spirit. And I'll thank you right now. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Father, I pray that you'll bless that brother, that sister, that loved one who made that commitment to the Lord. Touch them right now. God, let their life, oh God, be a beacon in the midst of darkness, oh God. Let them see the light, oh God. Open up their mind, understanding. And God, let them get into a church that can teach and minister the word of God. Jesus. And we invite them to come back and be with us, yes, oh God, during our Bible studies during the week. Yes. And we pray, God, that you'll keep them from the evil, keep them from the enemy, yes, and watch over their souls. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. Amen. God bless you, each and every one of you. Thank you so much for joining us. We just pray that you were blessed today by the word of God, and we pray that you will encourage, continue to stay encouraged, because God loves you. I'm telling you, God loves you. He loves all of us, and we thank God for every one of you. And listen, before we close, just say, God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. You know, you used to have a little expression. I forget what that. He loves me. He loves me not. What was that? The little, was it a cartoon? Flower. The flower they picked. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. Well, I forget to love me not, but he loves me. He loves me. He loves me. God loves me. God loves you. God loves you. I love you. In Jesus' name. I pray that you are blessed by the word today. If you would like to be a blessing and continue to hear this word, we come on every Sunday around 11:30 on those who are joining us on Facebook, about 11:30. If you're on podcasts, you can go to our actually podcast site through anchor.com, anchor.com. You can hear it through Anchor Radio. I think it's anchorradio.com. Or go to our website. Go to our website, and you can always get that information at our website, agatchurch.org. That's agatchurch.org.